Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Listen to this. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's a negative to start off with. It's coming up on the screen right now, the scripture, Matthew. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And when I say, and there are many who go on it. Isn't that crazy? Think about it. Do you want to go to destruction? No. You don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, goody, 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 I'm on my way to destruction. No, but there is a principle here where it speaks about broad is the way. Now, you might say, what does that mean? I just think the broad way is ways that kind of violate God's word. Violate principles of humanity. Finds the easy way and kind of whatever we'll do. And it says, you know, broad is the way. So let me draw you my artistic design. So broad is the way that leads to destruction. It seems like it's broad here, but as you go on in your life, life gets very narrow and restricted. So if you're disloyal to your friends, you may have a lot of that up here, but when you get on in life, man, life gets so restricted. There's no friends and you're lonely. How about, man, let's just don't save our money. Let's, you know, put in the pokers. Let's do this and that kind of stuff. Oh, it's exciting. Everybody's doing it. But you get down here later on, so restrictive. Got nothing. Can't afford this. Can't afford that. You know, unfaithful in a marriage. Oh, everyone's doing it. So they say, everyone's doing it. Sleep around. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, but you get later on in life and it's very restrictive. Lonely. All by yourself. So I think it's good for us to look down the path a little bit. And I'm not judging anyone here today. Man, we're all on a journey, but I'm just beginning to kind of think more and more about the pathway series is we've got to kind of understand that the decisions we make today will affect our tomorrows. So what I decide today, how will it look tomorrow? What would it feel like tomorrow or in 10 years' time? Now, the next verse is interesting. Broad is the way that leads to destruction and many that find it. And then it says, narrow is the way that leads. I'm a bit crooked here. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And very few find it. Interesting. It almost looks like we've got reverse funnels. Broad becomes restricted. Not restricted, but narrow becomes broad. And I just think the Lord's trying to get us through to something here that there are principles in the Word of God that can really bless us and really help us. I don't want to put any effort into, you know, into my career. I don't want to study. I just want to enjoy life. Down here later on, or I'm never turning up for work, I'm always late and all that kind of stuff. Down here, your choices become very limited. But if you put the effort in here, and I don't believe the narrow way is a restricted way. You know, I was brought up restricted in my Christian belief and all that kind of stuff. It was so narrow, we couldn't do this. You know, we weren't allowed to go to the movies. I think there's some movies you shouldn't go to anyway, but we weren't even allowed to go and see Walt Disney, you know, and you know, because what would happen if Jesus come and you were in the theater? Donald Duck, my golly gosh. So it's kind of very, very restricted. But we're not talking about a restricted life because God always gives you the choice. But he says narrow is the way that leads to life. Let's look at it again. Narrow is the way that leads to life. That's definitely not the one. Oh, thank you. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Now, that's interesting. So it's narrow and it's difficult. Who's in university? Is it difficult? Amen. Is it going to be worth it?
Yes.
Hope so. Tomorrow morning, the alarm clock goes off at 6:30. had a big night at the Indian night. Do I really have to get up? You know, life is narrow. You know, I was away Friday, Saturday. I was out, you know, in Coffs Harbour, and the alarm goes off early this morning. Say, wonder if Chris Colantomi can preach this morning. Doesn't even enter my head. Oh, he could preach, and no worries about that. But it doesn't even enter my head. Why? Because I've chosen a narrow way. Not just a broad way. I don't feel like it, so I won't do it. No, it's a focus way. In your family. Oh, man, who cares? Let the kids do what they like. Two-year-old, you don't want to go to Sunday school? Or you don't want to go to church? Five-year-old, you want to go to church? You don't want to go to Sunday school? Nah, we let the kids choose themselves. It will cost you. They get to 14, 15, 16. We don't want to go to church. You want your kids to go to church. Look at me. You come to church and be happy. And you go home happier. And when you put the money in the plate, hallelujah. There it goes. You know, have a bit of a joy around your life. You know, I don't blame some of your kids not coming to church the way I look at you. Enjoy church. Enjoy it. When you go home, enjoy it. Speak good of it. Man, wasn't Pastor John good this morning? That'll help me. That'll help me. That'll help me. Yeah. Or wasn't the music good this morning? Oh, it's probably about 5 out of 10. Hey, get over it. Every week they do as best as they can. And they'll do as good as what you give them. If you want them to enter into praise and worship, you enter into praise and worship. Man, I see some of you standing there and you... If I was standing here, I'd be depressed. You come late, you go early. Come on, let's make this thing happen. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And if you're late, don't let me give you a hard time. I'm glad you're here. We'll start when you turn up. But narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way. Are you seeing it this morning? If we can just make some little adjustments to our life, it'll improve our marriage, it'll improve our relationship with God, it'll improve our financial world and make the atmospheres within our life so good. We're not talking about a big crossroad decision. We're talking about adjustments within our life that will lead to greater blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, turn to someone and say, thank God they're talking about you today, not me. Narrow, and then it talks about difficult. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Now, I don't want to preach that Christianity is hard. I want to preach that Christianity is impossible. Amen? You're trying to do it by yourself, it'll kill you. We live by the grace of God. It's the Spirit of God within our life that empowers us to lead our life. And you might say, you know, John, you know, over the years there's been sacrifices, there's been difficulties in your life. Oh, man, I could keep talking about them all day. But what do we want to focus about? Do we want to focus on the difficult way or talk about where we're going in life? Everyone's got to pay for something. You'll pay for your life. Are you hearing me now? You always pay. You know, the drug addict or whatever, you know, may be good, but they'll pay for it. You might be leading a life that seems like it's narrow at the moment and you've got to apply yourself and there's savings and you've got to get through this rough patch financially and you've got to get this rough patch relationally and you know, if your attitude towards God and those kind of things. But I want to tell you, if you stay focused, it'll explode into a broader life. You may be paying now, but you'll pay later. These people may play now, but they'll pay later. We all pay, and you're going to pay for your life. So why don't we pay for the great life we want? Is it all pain? No. There's been a couple of moments in my life where there's been no pain. Pain's part of the journey. Weeping may last the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. If you're going through pain, hey, get ready. There's a shout of joy coming. But don't get your eye on the pain. Get your eye on the joy. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Man, he didn't keep his eye on the cross. He knew that would happen for the redemption of mankind, but it didn't become his fixation. What became his fixation? As he looked down through the pathways of time, he saw you turning unto him. He saw you, your sins are forgiven. He's seen you in relationship with God. Why? Because he didn't get a fixation on the pain. He got a fixation on the Christ. The goal at the end of what would be accomplished. Now people say, oh, John, you know, Carol, you've probably been through, you know, lots of stuff, you know, in the church and that kind of stuff. Probably true. I mean, man, I don't count my scars. I count my stars. You got to turn your scars into stars. You got to turn everything that's kind of negative into a positive. And God is there working with you, working out everything together for good to those who love God and to those who are fitting into the plan of God for their life. So I want to declare today, this way is a good way. And it says only a few find it. But I believe we've got them all here today. Yeah. We got them all in the room today. You're here and you're on the narrow way that leads to life. Even though it's difficult this time, we set our eye on the goal in Jesus' name. So, we're on the pathway. You're on a pathway. Every choice puts you on a pathway. Every decision puts you on a pathway. What's our goal? Over here, John. Who does that look like? Now, come on. Yeah, it's Big Al. Okay. So we've got a goal. We want to go to this happy chappy up here, and that's our goal. And that there's all sorts of goals in life, you know, that we may know Christ. That's a good goal. That's a journey for us to life. Great marriage. Good friendships. Finances on the right track. Serving God. Where are you? Are we heading towards this? Or does it seem like that somewhere along the line we've got ourselves, we've made the wrong choice and it's starting to steer in the wrong direction? I want to encourage you today, take great courage. Take great courage. I've heard preachers say, well, you've got to backtrack and start again. I believe it's total wrong philosophy. What you need to do is stop here and redirect your life. Redirect your life in Jesus' name. Yeah, we're going to get back on track in Jesus' name. Let's say it together, we're getting on track today. We're getting on track. We're getting on track because it's going to lead us somewhere. Now, we've heard the story of King David. Who's ever heard of King David? They still talk about him in history. In Israel, his name's mentioned often. He didn't start off as a king. He just started off as a shepherd boy. What's a shepherd boy? Someone, a low job. Not much skill involved, apparently, but you had to be skillful in your way you handled sheep. But it was just one of the lowliest jobs you could have. So he started off as a shepherd boy. And also, not only that, he was not even numbered with his brothers. He's kind of like the runt of the clan. He wasn't spoken of. But through all of that, there was something happening in his heart. And it said that when God wanted to get rid of Saul because of his disobedience, he's looked over Israel and he's found a man after his own heart who will do all of his will. So here's this young boy, David, you know, and there's starting to be pathways created in his life. And I just want to encourage now, pathways are going to be created in your life. You're on a pathway, but there'll be other pathways created. You've got to choose the pathway that will take you closer to God, and that at the end of the day, you can say, man, and look back on my life and say, God, thank you for leading and guiding me. So it had after God. So God says to Saul, hey, you can no longer be king. It took many years for that transition to happen between David getting anointed and David becoming king. From Saul, God saying to Saul that your kingdom is at an end to the end coming. So what happens? God anoints David. Samuel goes and anoints him with oil to be king over Israel. What happened the day after that David is anointed king over Israel? He's only a young lad. He just goes back home looking after his sheep, but with a new intentionality within his mind. That I'm going to learn to do this good. I'm going to learn to do this properly. Why? Because I've got a destiny. I've got a pathway that I'm on now. And I believe the moment God touches your life, you've been anointed by the Spirit of God. You have a destiny. You have a pathway. And it should do something to your lifestyle. There's something that is altered. Because I have a purpose to becoming like Christ. I've been anointed to be a husband or a mother, a wife. In my work, in my childhood, I've been anointed by God. There's something special brewing within my life. So he's anointed. He goes back and look after the sheep. And then one day his father said, hey, go and visit your brothers. They're down at the war. They're trying to win a battle. So he goes down and takes the food. And when he's there, he hears this Goliath yell out, you know, give me a champion. And then when Israel hears it, they all get afraid and they go and hide in rocks, in caves and under trees and round trees, and because they were so intimidated by Goliath. But there's something special about David. He just stood there. He said, what was that? What's wrong with you guys? You see, when God touches your life, you're on the pathway to confidence. When God touches your life, you're on the pathway to victory. When God touches your life, there's a rising strength within your life. And when you hear the enemy begin to taunt you or taunt others, you just say, what was that? Because your ear is attuned to hear the different sound and the sounds of God. Hear him again. And David says to his brothers, why doesn't someone go and, you know, why doesn't someone finish him off? He's too big. He's huge. You wait till this afternoon when he comes out. And he was big. He was 9 foot tall. Just a little bit taller than me. Huge person. Armor on him and that kind of stuff. And the people said, man, he's too big. We can't fight him. David looked at him and said, hey, man, he's too big to miss. So he gets his sling. He gets his stone. Kills Goliath. You see, now David is on another pathway. God's anointed him to be king. He's living for God. He's making the most of the opportunities that God's given him. And he's on the pathway. He's going. Then Saul takes him into his palace and said, David, hey, I heard you're not only a good shepherd, but you're good at the guitar. So he began to play music when Saul used to be troubled by evil spirits, and he'd play and the Spirit of God would come, you know, upon him, and the evil spirits would be set free from Saul. And, you know, it was a good relationship. Then one day, Saul heard something, because David was not only a good musician, he was a good warrior. And he used to go out and fight battles for Israel and for Saul. And Saul heard one day this song. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. Saul began to get jealous. Even though David was still on the track and on the path to be king, he wasn't pushing for it. He was willing to take God's timing and just wanted to serve the king and just wanted to do whatever was pleasing. But the king took a dislike to him. One day he threw a javelin and was going to pin him against the wall. And here's David. Man, I'm on a pathway, but now I'm being harassed by the king. And for years and years, David was on the run from King Saul, being harassed by Saul. Wanted to kill him. What does it say? Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few that find it. You see, there was one time when Saul was chasing after David, that Saul went into a cave to go to the loo. It says in the Bible, went to relieve himself. And he was sitting there doing his business. And right at the back of the cave was David and his men. And David's men said to him, hey, David, this is the moment that God has brought him here that we can kill him and put an end to this harassment. You'll be set free and we'll be out of danger as well. You can imagine the emotion that was going through David's mind. Man, you could be right, guys. Let's kill this guy who's just been harassing my life and causing so much stress within my life. Then he thought, no. But what he did, he compromised and he went and cut off the garment, edge of the garment, the robe of King Saul. put in his hand. And as soon as he did it, his conscience said, you shouldn't have done that. I just wonder, as you've been on the pathway to knowing God and your other goals in life, if you do step across the line sometimes, does your conscience still trouble you? If it does, congratulations. You're still sensitive to God and the ways of God. If it doesn't, please, my friends, get down before God and say, God, create in me a soft heart. Create in me a humble spirit that I can be led and guided by the Spirit of God within my life. And David knew as soon as he did that, he knew he was touching God's anointed. And the word of God says, touch not God's anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. And as soon as David did it, he said, man, I've done the wrong thing. And he goes out to Saul. After Saul got his act together and went out, and David says, hey, I could have killed you today, but God forbade me. Isn't that a good word? You could go out sometimes, hey, man, I could have committed adultery, but God forbade me. I could have stolen, but God forbade me. You know, you've got to hear the voice of God within your everyday experience. I could have taken a shortcut that could have sabotaged the story of my life, but no, God forbade me. I heard the voice of God.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.